Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries daily, worldwide, over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the federal land banks when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools. They're banned from our public institutions, and they've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, in our public institutions. We've made them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years or so. Now, are you aware, for instance, that your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent? But your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this kind of moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that's teaching this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties, and the 33 benefits for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty, and you don't have to know what the penalty to the law is in order to suffer from its effect. So, whether we call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, the Natural Law, or Karma, or something else, it's automatic. And it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. Doesn't cost you anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and it's free of charge. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. Click on to the archives page and you can download that free general law CD package right there off the archives page. georgegordon.org. All right, this week we've been talking about the farms on the Great Plains in a book called Night Came to the Farms of the Great Plains by Raymond North. It's put out by Acres USA. So if you're looking for a copy, you want to go to Acres USA, and they got a phone number here, if I can find it again. Yeah, here it is. Nope, that's the wrong page. Let me see if I can find it. Yep, here it is. 1-800-355-5313. I'll give you that number one more time before we finish here today. The number is 1-800-355-5313. Now, remember, they're in Austin, Texas. You can get them online, too. You know, just go to do a Google search and looking for Acres, A-C-R-E-S, USA. I don't think you can miss them. Their website is acresusa.com. All right. Now, I'm going to shift gears here a little bit, and I'm going to tell you what the solution to the problem is. You know, if you're a student and you come to school and we tell you about all these problems, if we don't have a solution to the problem, then why do we need to know what the problem is? If you can't solve it, you don't need to know about it. Now, fortunately, whether you're a farmer or a consumer in the city, there's a solution to this farm debacle, the farm programs and so on. Remember, I've mentioned that there's two models here. We've got the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. That's what we're practicing in America. We're practicing communist farming economy. And we've been doing that now for about 80 years. And the results that you see around you today is the results that we got for practicing the 10 planks. From 1787 to 1933, we practiced the 10 commandment model and in agriculture. Well, to a degree. We never practiced all of the laws of God, but we practiced some of them. We practiced enough of it that we became the wealthiest, most powerful nation in the world in 115 or 30 years or so, economically, politically, militarily, and agriculturally. This country became the breadbasket of the world. Now, there are 18 laws in the scripture, 18 laws that God gave us and said, practice these 18 laws, and you're going to have an abundance that you won't know what to do with. And that came to pass. Now, there are economic laws, there are health laws, there are agricultural laws, and they're spelled out here in the scripture. And if you follow those laws, you get an outcome, you get a result that comes from it. And if you violate those laws, then you get an outcome. You know, you get something that comes from it. So if you get a pen and paper down there, I'm going to run through these 18 laws, 18 agricultural laws of the Bible. Now, I'm a farmer, and I practice these 18 laws, and I've noticed that they work. They work very nicely for me. And I'm not here trying to get you to practice them. I don't care whether you do or not. It's no skin off my back. And here's the best part of this. I'm probably the only farmer in Ozark County. I may be the only farmer in Missouri that practices these laws. I get the benefits from them. It's not hurting me when my neighbor over here violates these laws. It hurts him. He's got a problem. I don't have the problem. Now, my neighbors are all talking, and they say, this guy Gordon, he's a lunatic. He's kind of nutso. Furthermore, when we have students come here, you know, they look at these laws, and I didn't dream these up, so I'm just going to give them to you from the Bible, and the Bible's been around for thousands of years, and hell, George Gordon couldn't have thought these 18 laws up. I'm not that smart. But I notice that when people see me do them, oh, they really get uptight. They get angry. I'm not quite sure why. What the hell difference does it make? You know, if I was a Chinese practicing Buddhism or something like that, you people would love me. But if you practice the laws of the creator of the universe, people hate you. Oh, God, they just get unhinged. So let's try this one. Number one, I've got them in alphabetical order here. So number one is the blood law in Leviticus 3, verse 17. Write down Leviticus 3, verse 17. Leviticus 17. Verses 10 through 14, two laws that deal with blood. It's against the law to eat blood. So as a farmer, it's against the law for me to fail to bleed the animals when I kill them and slaughter them. So if you're going to be a farmer and you're going to kill animals and sell meat, you got to make sure that it's bled. It doesn't have to be kashered. It just needs to be bled. Now, cashering is going a step further, and I do that also, but I don't do it for my meat customers. The law requires that we bleed them, and that's what I do. Number two calls for clean and unclean animals. I don't raise pigs. I don't raise unclean animals for sale to people. I wouldn't eat them myself. There isn't anything here that I sell or that I produce that I wouldn't eat. And when I've got a cow out here that I wouldn't eat, or a sheep that I wouldn't eat, I kill it and throw it out for the buzzards to eat. Now, in the slaughterhouses, when they have what they call downer cows, a lot of times they'll slip those cows through. You know, cows that are sick, cows that have some kind of an ailment or something like that, ought not to be eaten until they're back on their feet and in full health. Don't sell cattle unless they're in perfect health. All right, number three calls for, and that's in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14. So two chapters there that deal with the animals that you ought not to be raising for people for food. Now, if you wanted to raise pigs for some other reason other than food, then that's not against the law. If you're raising dogs, you know, a lot of people, they want to breed dogs, you know, that's kind of a farming out operation. If you stop and think about it. Raising mink or chinchillas or something like that, you know, for coats, but not for food. Number three deals with cattle crossbreeding. In Leviticus 19:19, we're instructed that we're not to let our cattle gender with a diverse kind. Now, actually, that's not talking about breeding Jersey cows with Holstein cows. Now, that's bad breeding practices, and those of us that are in the business would not let our Jersey bull breed with our Charolais cows. Charolais cows are a beef breed, and Jersey cows are a dairy breed. What this is talking about is this thing of, it's almost like cloning, where you take a buffalo and breed it to a bull. Cattle, they'll actually breed. You can do that. In fact, I saw one the other day. It was on the TV. It was called a tiger lion. They had a name for it, a lie tiger or a tig lion or something like that. Tig lion. They bred a lion to a tiger. You see, they're cats. Now, naturally, they won't interbreed out in the wild. But, you know, in the zoo, they can do that. They'll take sperm from one, and then they'll artificially inseminate the female, and then they'll come up with this critter. That's what God prohibits. And he prohibits that specifically among meat animals. So if we had a muskox, you know, from Alaska, and we wanted to breed that to a cow, we could do that. They'll breed. Not naturally, but they'll crossbreed. Now, we call these beefalo here in the States. Well, they take buffalo and cattle and they breed them together and they call these beefalo. That's the prohibition that's being aimed at here with Leviticus 19:19. But bear this in mind. It's just bad breeding practices and it's in the long run uneconomical. Purebred Jersey cows sell for a premium. I get a premium price for my purebred Jersey milk cows. I raise family milk cows. That's my little niche in life. And I break them to hand milk on the right side. And then I sell them to families that want raw milk. And they can't get raw milk, you know, in the stores. And so they want to have a family milk cow. Well, there's a market for that. The same thing is true with the organic beef and organic raw unpasteurized milk and so on. And you get a premium price for that. And that's the little niche market that you farmers want to be thinking about. Number four is fat. It's against the law to eat fat. That's Leviticus 3:17. Write a second scripture down. Leviticus 7, verses 22 through 25. That's Leviticus 7, verses 22 through 25. It's the fat law, number four. Now, there's a number of cattle out there. I mentioned Charolais, Herefords, Black Angus. Those are what we call fat cattle. They have about 25% body fat on the animal. I don't raise those. I raise Scotch Highlanders and Jerseys. Remember, it's against the law for us to eat fat. Why would we want to produce fat for our neighbors? Now, fat cattle put on weight at the rate of about 2 to 3 pounds per day in the feedlot, and they put on fat. So then the slaughterhouse takes that fat, grinds it up, puts it in your hamburger, and that's what's killing us in this country. Now, cattle, like Scotch Highlanders, they only have 6% body fat, Jerseys 6%, buffalo 6%. And we're instructed to cut that fat off and throw it to the dogs. So we're not to eat it. Why would you want to produce it? Well, because by producing fat cattle, they gain 2.7 pounds a day on average in a feedlot. but a grass-fed animal only gains 1 pound per day. So you gain this 1.7 pounds a day of fat, but then the carcass is 25% fat instead of 6%. And so what are you going to do with that? You're going to grind it up and you're going to put it into the sausage. You're going to put it into the hamburger, into the bologna, into the hot dogs. And then we sell that to people, and then they get cardiovascular disease. They get atherosclerosis and so on. And that's not showing love to your neighbor, partner. Now, if you'll produce meat animals, it takes longer and costs more, and that's why we get paid a premium. Now, number five calls firstborn redemption, Exodus 34, verses 19 and 20. Redemption of the firstborn. There's a law here that requires, God has set aside, he says, the firstborn male that comes out of an animal is his. He owns it. And it's called the redemption of the firstborn. Exodus chapter 13 tells you more about how to deal with those redemption of the firstborn. Of course, in our farm school here at the law school, we teach you how to do that. If you're a farmer and you want to learn how to do these 18 laws here, I'd recommend school. And we'll show you how to farm under the Ten Commandment model. And I'll show you how to carve out one of those niche businesses. And it pays well. You know, I'm not complaining. I'm one of the few guys in the country. I'm not complaining about the USDA or the FDA or the IRS or the land banks or the PCAs or the banks and insurance companies or governments and licenses and so on. I don't have a problem with any of it. I practice the Ten Commandment model. And I've done both. I understand the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto, and I understand how to farm under the 10-plank model. I understand how to borrow and pay usury and interest. You know, I wasn't raised in some kind of a vacuum someplace. I'm an old-timey businessman. I've been doing this for years and years, and it didn't work for me. And I said, there's got to be some better way of doing this. And when I learned about the Ten Commandment model, I said, let me give that a shot. Let me see what happens. I tried. It works like a shot. I mean, it works well. It produces good profitability. And I'm not suffering. I've had the veterinarian out here. Let me tell you something about livestock here. I've been here 26 years, and I've called the vet out here, I think, 5 times in 26 years. If I can remember right, I think I've called him out here 5 times. And when he comes out here, he oftentimes can't do much. But I don't have sick animals. Once in a while, I'll have one. I had one time, got weak and got down. I couldn't get her up. The vet has a shot. I don't know what it is, adrenaline or something like that, to get them up on their feet. He came out. He couldn't get her up. I did save her, but we had to go down there and pick her up with a hydraulic bucket and stick some molasses into her to get some calories into her and one thing or another. But anyway, moral to the story is most dairies will have the vet out at least once a week, if not twice or 3 times. And this dairy here, we don't have the vet out very often at all. I have called him a time or two or three. And sometimes the vet comes out and he saves my animal, but it's rare. You know, it's pretty rare. I don't need them that much. All right, so this redemption of the firstborn, that's Exodus 34, verses 19 and 20. You need to learn how to do that. We practice that here, and that's one of the biggest things that people complain about. They say, well, my God, that guy's practicing witchcraft back there with that redemption of the firstborn, you know. And no, we're not practicing witchcraft here. Witchcraft is not redemption of the firstborn. There's 19 elements to witchcraft, and you want to avoid those. No two ways about it. But this is not one of those ways. Now, number 7 deals with gleaning. There's a gleaning law here, and if you want to read a neat story about gleaning, it's in Ruth, little book in the Old Testament here called Ruth. And it comes after Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth, and then 1 and 2 Samuel. You'll find it right there toward the end of Deuteronomy. When you get to Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You're getting close. And then you come to Joshua, Judges, and then there's just four chapters here called Ruth. And this woman is out here gleaning, and gleaning means that you're out here picking up what's been left over after a harvest. Now, for you people that are unemployed, why don't you, instead of going to the food bank to get this free food, why don't you go out in the countryside and start looking for, here's where you start, call your county extension agent, and ask him who's growing potatoes in your county. Ask him who's got some truck crops out here, you know, like greens, spinach, vegetables, carrots, you know, rutabagas, anything like that. And then go out and talk to these farmers. You'll get the names of some farmers. Go out there and ask them if you could glean after they finish their harvest. You know, I'm an old-timey farmer here, and if anybody would have asked me, I never would have turned them down. I can't imagine a farmer turning you down, in spite of the contract clause that says you got to disc this in, you know. If they've got a contract, say, with a potato chip company or something like that, they got the terms in the contract call for them to destroy anything that isn't a number one or two, but they'll let you come out there. And they got big potatoes and little potatoes out there. You know, for the entire winter, you'll need about, if you got a family of six, you might need 300 pounds, 400 pounds of potatoes. And you can go out there and pick those potatoes up out of the field, and you got a whole year's worth of potatoes there. Same thing with rutabagas and carrots and things like that, you know. So gleaning is an important lawn, and if you're a farmer, you should be open to gleaning, and so we do that here. You know, if somebody wanted to glean here, we'd let them do that. Number 8 deals with hybrid seed. Now, this little book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 1 through 23, tells you the story there. So it's Ruth 2, 1 through 23. The whole book is well worth reading. It's just four chapters. You know, it'll take you half an hour. Number 8 deals with hybridized seeds, Leviticus 19:19. It's against the law to use hybrid seed. These are called mingled seed in the Scripture. Now today, what we're doing here in the United States, we're not just mingling our seed with hybridization. We're actually gene splicing now, and we're putting in little pieces of something. I don't know quite what they're doing here, but they're splicing genes from things like animals and putting it into vegetables and vice versa. And that's what we're prohibited from doing, playing God. And it's bad practice. And furthermore, it's just because God told you not to do that. So, you know, you can do it if you want to, and Monsanto's not going to stop just because I said, hey, this violates the law of God. But, you know, if you want to be successful in farming, there's 18 laws that'll guarantee that. And if you're not as successful as you think you ought to be today, maybe you might want to consider this. Now, here in the United States, we have not practiced all 18 of these, but we have, over the years, practiced some of these. For instance, until recent times, we weren't practicing hybridization, mingled seeds. We weren't practicing gene splicing, you know, and cloning. But now we're getting worse. We're not getting better. We're not getting to the point where we're practicing more and more of these laws of our Creator. We're practicing less and less. When we practice some of these laws, we got some of the benefits. If you'll practice all of these laws, you'll get all the benefits, and the benefits are what you're after. Number 9 is the inheritance law. The inheritance comes into play here as a farmer. The firstborn son inherits the land. There's quite a little story that goes with inheritance. It's in Deuteronomy 21, verses 15 through 17. Now, keep in mind that is not all of the inheritance law. So, if you'll remember code pleading, what you want to do is you want to look up all of the inheritance law in the Scripture, of which there's 7, 8, 9 statutes. I'm just giving you a little flavor here. I just want to show you that there is a thing here called the inheritance law, and it requires that you do this or that, and if you don't do this or that, then you don't get the benefits that come from it. You need to see how simple this is? It's no big mystery. And you can write these two chapters down, Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. In the first 14 verses of each of those two chapters, Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, God says this, say, you follow my laws, and I will give you these benefits. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will give you rain in due season. Well, boys and girls, Hurricane Katrina is not rain in due season. And a 10-year drought in California is not rain in due season. All right, now, there is a guy out here that could give you rain in due season. I get rain in due season here where I'm at, and I'm not complaining. I don't have to irrigate, I've got plenty of grass, and you know, I'm happy as a clam at high tide, and I get good prices for my products, and I'm not in the soil bank, and I'm not hooked up with the government, and I'm not sucking off the dole, and the taxpayers are not subsidizing my farming operation here. So you taxpayers out there, hey, I don't cost you people a dime, and I'm putting product into the economy. So I'm producing for the economy. I don't cause you people any grief. Don't cost you any money. I'm a net profit to everybody. The taxpayers profiting off of me. My customers profit off of me. My government profits off of me. I mean, everybody's making money. See how that works? So, under this inheritance law over here, now there's some requirements that God has set down here that if you'll follow these requirements, it'll solve a lot of problems when it comes time for you to die and leave your property, you know, to the next generation, so on down the line. And in number 10 here, it calls for Jubilee years. Now, in Leviticus 25, verses 8 through 55, it's not the only place that you'll find Jubilee, but it tells you the whole story there. Now, I'm going to couple that with number 11, Land Sabbaths. That's in Leviticus 25, verses 1 through 7. It's not the only place where you'll find Land Sabbaths, but let me explain these two so that you can understand what they're for. Once every 7 years, God says he doesn't want you to farm. He wants you to take a sabbatical. Take the old lady on a cruise to Italy. And while you're at that, whatever's on your land over here is going to grow up, mature, and then die. And if you do that once every 7 years, the volunteer grows up and then it dies. It fertilizes the land for the next 7 year cycle. So we farm it for 6, and then we let it rest 1. And then, if you do that, your land will maintain its fertility forever. Now, don't sit there and say, I don't believe it. You've never done it, so you don't know. You're just flapping your lips there, partner. You don't know. Now, I know OrthoGrow came out and the county ag extension agent came out and said, no, that's crazy, and you don't want to do that. What you want to do is you want to go to Ortho and Standard Oil, and you want to buy liquid nitrogen, and you want to put on chemicals, and you want to spray, you know, with Agent Orange and so on. But and it works, and I don't deny it, and I'm not sitting here arguing with you. We have an agricultural system here in the United States, and it works like a shot. You know, you go out in the spring, and you put all these chemicals on the ground, and you go out there, and you spray, and you kill all the bugs. And now, there's some side effects that come from that. Chemical agriculture has some side effects, and it has, I think if I remember right, it's 40,000 square miles down in the Gulf of Mexico. They have a dead zone down there. Nothing lives in there because of the agricultural chemical runoff. Okay, now that's one side effect. A second side effect is that it affects the customers that are buying this, especially those that have a sensitive immune system. And then it spreads disease, degenerative disease like cancer, heart attack, stroke, you know, muscular dystrophy, and so on. These are called degenerative diseases. So it's got these side effects. Now, the other side of the coin is there's some positives to these land Sabbaths. For instance, you farm for 6 years, you get 1 year off every 7 years. That's a vacation year. Just, you can spend your time building fences and building buildings or taking the wife on a cruise or, you know, whatever you want to do. But we don't farm that 1 year. Now, if you practice that, you can maintain soil fertility forever. And if you don't do that, then your soil fertility will go down. And that's what's happening in the United States. And to give you an illustration, in 1880, in Kansas, the average protein content of wheat out there was 24%. Today it runs 7 to 13. Soil fertility in Kansas has gone down over the last 130 years. Now, if you want to rebuild that soil fertility, you can do that. I don't know if it'll take 130 years, but it'll take some land Sabbath cycles to accomplish that. Now, I know that most of the farmers out there will say, well, I'm not going to do that. Well, that's fine. No problem. You have not done that in the past. And now in agriculture, we have this crisis. And there's now fewer farmers on the land than there were 80 years ago. Now, one of the curses that you face, if you'll read Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, he said the land will spew you out. And then there's another term where your creator now says, and the land will vomit you out. And sure enough, you know, you farmers out there over the last 80 years, who did not practice these 18 agricultural laws, have been vomited out of the land. And the reason that you've been vomited out of the land is because you didn't practice these 18 laws. So, my granddad owned the Needle Rock Ranch just up above Bryson, well, from Bryson down to the coast, and then from Bear Harbor up, it was the next ranch up, 1,600 acres there on the Pacific coast. He bought it in 1917, had it till 1935, and he lost it because he couldn't pay the payments on it. He violated these agricultural laws. He violated some economic laws. And as a result of that, the land vomited him out. Now, it's a succession of owners had it. And finally, the state took it. It's a park now, as I understand, a state park. And that land under the inheritance law would have gone to my dad, who was a firstborn. And then that land would have gone to me because I'm a firstborn. And then that land would have gone to my boy Ted because he is a firstborn. Now, if you'll look at Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5, there's a commandment in there, and God said, and he said, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the sons to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, my granddad hated God, my dad hated God, and I hated God, and I think my boy Ted to this day hates God. And then this word hate, chase it out here, means to love less. We have other interests in life. So it isn't that we despise God. My granddad never talked about God. He wasn't religious. And neither did my dad, you know, much. You know, he went to church a couple of times, but nothing to brag about. But they had other interests in life other than practicing the law of God. And as a result of that, the land vomited all of the Gordons out of the Needle Rock Ranch. So after having gone through that experience, I looked at that and I said, well, now, what would I do to reestablish myself? You know, what do I do to recover? So I moved out here to Missouri, and I took up a piece of ground out here. Now I'm practicing these 18 laws, and I'm pretty careful about it. Now, if you will practice these laws, God says, I will establish you in the land, and you shall never be removed. So there's the two opposites there. So if you farmers up in North Dakota want to be established in the land and never removed, then you practice these 18 laws. And if you want the land to vomit you out, you violate one or more of these laws, And then your creator says, I guarantee it, you can't miss. Hey, we're at the halfway point here, and I'm going to have to give you a reminder, if I can find my paper here. Yep, here it is right here. A reminder here to satisfy all of the government agencies and agents out here with the Federal Communications Commission and God knows how many other federal agencies, maybe even a couple of state ones that I don't even know about. By reminding you that you are listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review and that we are sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's eight schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. And it has a radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Or you can call the law, call the law school direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the 18 agricultural laws of the Bible as it relates to this book, Night Came to the Farms of the Great Plains, written by Raymond D. North. Now, the story here in the previous six installments here of this segment, of this section on the federal land banks is Chapter 4. And the guy did a hell of a job here discussing what the problem is with these federal land banks and how they have manipulated the farmers into a trap. It's not an accident. It's not bad politics or bad economics or ignorant people that don't know what they're doing. These people are geniuses and they know exactly what they're doing. They appear to be your friends and they come out here and they win your confidence, and then once they've done that, well, then they stick you in the back. So it's a hell of a story. You can get this from Acres USA. The phone number down there is 1-800-355-5313. That's 1-800-355-5313. While you're at it, you ought to get a subscription to Acres USA. And that's because it's probably the foremost organic or ecological paper periodical, at least in the United States, and if not here, I would guess probably in the world. Night Came to the Farms of the Great Plains is the name of the book. Raymond North is the author. Now, the solution to all of this is to go back to practicing these 18 laws. Now, the Jubilee year occurs occurs twice every 100 years. Once every 49 years, you farm for 49 years, and on the 50th year, you take that year off. So that's a total of 16 land Sabbaths per century. So every 100 years, you have 16 of these rest periods on the land where the vegetation grows up and dies down. And then all of the soil bacteria, nematodes, and etc. reestablish themselves and build themselves up. And of course, we that are in the organic business, we avoid chemicals and sprays like AIDS, herpes, and VD. And we produce a superior product, and we get paid a superior price for it. And I have a little niche business here. And as a result of that, when I tell people, you know what I get paid for my cows, they just look at me like, "Why, you lying sack of, you know?" I go, "Well, okay. I'm not here to persuade you that I'm right. I'm just here to tell you that I'm not complaining. I practice these 18 scriptural laws as they relate to agriculture, and I don't do business with the USDA, the FDA, the IRS, the land banks, PCAs, banks, insurance companies, governments, and I don't get licenses. And I'm not having any problems at all. I'm happy as a clam at high tide. And I'm here to tell you that the Ten Commandment model works like a shot. And that's been my experience. I don't go to church, and I'm not a Christian. And I'm not out here knocking on your door trying to get you to give your heart to Jesus today. And you don't have to send me any money, for a love offering this week to keep me on the air. I don't give a rat's ass whether you like it or not. If you don't like it, turn it off. How's that? But remember, we're here as a public service, public interest, and there's some information out here that you're not getting from Katie Couric, Brian Williams, and Diane Sawyer. And I took a look at that, and I said, it looks like to me that the average Joe Sixpack, whether he's a farmer or he's Mr. Goodrich or Sally Housewife or so, if you people had the other side of the story, it looks like to me that you would act in your own best interest. But if you don't have the other side of the story, then you're just left with practicing communism. It's the only thing you know. It's the only thing they taught you in school. It's the only thing your mommy and daddy knew, so they taught you that. I learned communism from mommy and daddy. They learned communism for their mommy and daddy. And went on back here a few generations, and so I took a look at it. When I practiced communism, it didn't work worth a damn for me. I didn't make any money. And I just had nothing but trouble, so I said, "Well, I'm going to change this. I don't know what I'm going to change it to." And I got off onto this scriptural program, and I said, "Hey, this thing actually worked." All right, number 12 calls for land claims. Land claims here. We used to claim land here in the United States, and we had a thing that was very similar to this. And it was called the Homestead Act, and we repealed it. But we did have something that was working pretty close here. It's in Numbers 33, verses 50 through 56. Numbers 33, verses 50 through 56. Now, when we practiced this, we had a very vibrant agriculture in America. When we shut this down, that was one more nail in the farmer's coffin. Number 13 is landmarks, Deuteronomy 19, verse 14, and Deuteronomy 27, 17. That deals with landmarks. Now, we don't practice landmarks here in the United States. What we want to do is we want to survey it, record it, use a GPS indicator or locator, and then we have to pay for that. Now, God gave us a very simple system over here called landmarks, and He says, don't remove your neighbor's landmark. And this is done at the local level between you and the neighbor over here. And if you have a complaint and you can't handle the landmark claim, then you take it to the judges, and the judges will sort it out, and they'll put the landmark where it belongs. And it's handled here at the local level. Now we don't do that. Now we got GPS, Well, now if you want to use that and you want to do that, that's fine. I'll get after it. But that isn't what God told you. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for you. Now, number 14 deals with land sales. You'll see this in Leviticus 25:23. It's against the law to make merchandise of our inheritance, and your inheritance is in the land. And to show you how this was worked out, here in the United States, 97% of us now, it's actually more than that now, but you know, last time I saw numbers, 97% of us are locked up in the city. 97% of us have been vomited out of the land, the inheritance, and there's just 3% of us left. And that 3% is going to be vomited out of the land. So, you know, get your suitcase packed, Bob, because you're leaving. And then, and you got the best authority in the world for that. It was the Creator Himself. He says, I'm going to kick you out of here. Give me the finger, you know. So tuck that one away in your heart. It's called land sales. It's against the law. Now, there's a modality that we use. If you want to leave North Dakota and go to California, there's a scriptural modality for that, which I'm not going to get into. But we do get into that hot and heavy here. We have a school here, an agricultural school, that deals primarily with these 18 laws, and then how to extrapolate that out and make money off of it, and you know how to farm the Ten Commandment way, and I think you'll do pretty well at it. I think you'll make some money at it. Okay, that's land sales. Leviticus 25, verse 23, it prohibits doing that. So don't make merchandise of the land. The land gets passed on to the firstborn son. If you're sitting on a farm up in North or South Dakota, and you've got a firstborn son there, it belongs to him. And if he says, well, I'm going to go off to the city, Dad, well, that's fine. He can disinherit himself if he wants to, but you can't. You can't. So, you know, if the kid says, well, I'm not going to do this, and I'm going to go off to the city, well, it's fine. And go back to the inheritance law over here. You know, the firstborn gets the double portion. Secondborn comes up, and so on down the line. Next item over here, 15, 16, 17, and 18 are actually, they're laws that we have to follow. But a couple of them we don't do anymore, and we don't have to. But not because they've been abolished, it's because we've changed the circumstances. And for instance, number 15 prohibits farming with an ox and an ass harnessed together. That's in Deuteronomy 22:10. Well, now that's pretty good. I don't farm with animals like horses and mules, or a mule and a bull or something like that. It's called unequally yoked. There's a statute that prohibits that. And this statute here prohibits us doing that here. But we all use machinery now. And I've watched the Amish up here. They use horses. I've never seen the Amish ever use unequally yoked animals. But just in case you were tempted to do that, there's a statute here in Deuteronomy 22:10 says don't do that. Okay, then here's another one here called muzzling the ox. It's against the law to muzzle the ox that treads out the corn. That's a pretty important law. We don't practice that anymore. It was going out when I was a kid in 1955. Frank Roach is still farmed with horses. And when he would make a round mowing hay, he'd stop at the gate, and then he'd let the horses rest, and he would let the horses eat. And that's because, you see, these animals are, they're vegetarians. They have to have all of the calories that they can get. You and I can eat meat, and we can get protein, and we can get a lot of calories in short order. But horses and oxen and mules and so on, they can't. So you stopped and let them rest. And I didn't know that, but old Frank knew that, and so... And I asked him about it one time. He says, well, see, these animals, they don't have enough calories. And so by letting them eat during the day, you make a round and you stop for 15 minutes and let them eat. And then you make a round and you stop and let them eat for 15 minutes. And then you go around and you water them. So you got to water them too. Then at night we'd bring them up and we'd put them in their stalls and then we'd give them oats. See, because grain has a lot of protein in it. And so you give them a lot of protein. That's the purpose for giving oats to horses. They don't need it when they're not working, but when they're working, they need it. So that's Deuteronomy 25, verse 4. And then there's an economic law and an agricultural law here. When you're tithing, this is actually a tithing law, but it applies to agriculture. It's called passing your animals under the rod. So let me describe that one for you. This year we had about 20 lambs born. And so we leave them on the ewes until they grow up, and then they get pretty good size, you know. And this fall, in fact, it'll be about next month, you know, sometimes October, we bring all the sheep in, put them in the corral, then we sort out all of this year's lambs. And then we put them in a corral, and then there's a chute. And I take a rod, I take a stick, you know, about 6-8 feet long, and I put that rod over the chute. This is called passing under the rod. Now, the tithe is 10%. So now I turn the sheep loose, and then the sheep will move up. That we stir them up, you know, down here in the corral. And they get to running around over there, and there's a gate open. And so some sheep will find that gate, and they'll run through. And then I've got a guy up here at the rod, and he counts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And that tenth lamb that passes under the rod is the tithe. Now, it's against the law for you to go out there and just pick out two sheep. There's a law here that says you got to pass these critters under the rod. And so, you know, you can sit there and say, what difference does it make? The difference that it makes is that you were told to pass them under the rod. You were not told to go down and pick out two. You were told to pass them under the rod. That's called random chance. That's so that you don't go down there and pick out the two worst ones or the two best ones. Random chance. That's the way that one's done. That's in Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 34. There's the statute on that. And then there's a last one over here. It's kind of an interesting law here. It says, you shall not see the kid in his mother's milk. And I've heard people talk about that for years and years, you know. And non-agricultural people probably never figured that one out. Now, let me show you how this works. Boiling meat is not against the law. There's a number of scriptures in the Bible that tell you it's fine, you can boil meat. I think it tastes pretty poor. I don't like it, but if you want to cook something, you can boil it. A kid is a goat. It's not against the law to eat goat. Goat meat is good meat. But you can't see the kid in his mother's milk. People have looked at that and they say, I wonder what that means. It's in Exodus 23, verse 19. It's repeated twice in the scripture. Now let me tell you something about milk. Milk has an enzyme in it. In order for that milk to be digested, you have to have that enzyme. So when you pasteurize milk, it kills the enzyme. So if you want to know why you're lactose intolerant, it's because you can't digest pasteurized milk. Now, some of us are a little tougher than others. I was always able to digest it. Well, I guess it was. I never got sick. I didn't care one way or the other, and I seemed to get by on it all right. Now, by the time I was about 42 or 3, I had a heart attack. And this old country doctor explained this to me. He said, now, here's what happened to you. When you left the farm and moved to the city, you kept drinking milk, didn't you? And I said, yeah. He said, well, while you were on the farm, you were drinking raw milk, and the raw milk has the enzyme in it that you have to digest the fat. Remember this fat law up here? It says, you shall eat no manner of fat. So when we're talking about the animal fat, you can't eat that animal fat. You have to cut it off and throw it out. Well, what about the butter fat? See, the butter fat's in another category. In fact, there's 8 places in the Bible that talk about eating butter. Butter, B-U-T-T-E-R. So eating butter is all right, as long as it's... as long as it hasn't been pasteurized. Because you cannot digest the butter. You can't digest the butter fat in the milk without this enzyme, and it's produced by the cow. You people don't have this enzyme. and you can't produce it. So when you drink pasteurized milk, this milk that you can't digest turns to plaque, and it builds up on your arteries. This is why you're having heart attack and stroke. In addition to eating McDonald's burgers over here with 30% fat in it and hot dogs, you know, that's doing it to you, probably more than the butterfat, but the butterfat's doing it to you too. So here's a statute, and it says, don't see the kid in his mother's milk. And that statute's aimed at pasteurization. Pasteurization's against the law. So don't pasteurize your milk. That's what the bottom line is. All right, boys and girls, there's 18 laws and there's 18 scriptures. Now, there's more than 18 scriptures here. So when we talk about land claims, there's several scriptures that talk about land claims, landmarks, jubilee years, land Sabbaths. So you need to code plead those out. Now, if you don't code plead those out, here in our school, in our agricultural school, it's called $100,000 on 25 acres or less. Here's how to make $100,000 a year on a small acreage in Federal Reserve Note dollars. Although we don't recommend that you farm and practice Federal Reserve Note dollars, that's another crime of and by itself, which comes under the economic laws. You should avoid the violation of these laws if it's at all possible, because every time there's a broken law, there's a penalty. No exception. And that's because if God came along and gave you a law here and he said, don't eat fat, if there wasn't a penalty to that, that wouldn't be a law, it would be a suggestion. And the penalty is that the fat builds up in your arteries. We got a name for it. In this country, we call it atherosclerosis. That's where your cholesterol builds up in your arteries and chokes them off, and then you have a heart attack. So you don't need a policeman out here giving you a ticket every time you go down to McDonald's, you know, and buy a Big Mac. You don't need a cop down there to give you a ticket to punish you. It's automatic. These laws enforce themselves. There's a penalty that comes from them. See? Same thing with blood. See, the life is in the blood, and we're told not to eat blood but to pour it on the ground. So when I butcher, I make sure that I pour it on the ground. And that's because blood is the vehicle that moves oxygen and nutrients out to your cells. Now, when it gets out to the cell, it deposits the nutrients and the oxygen, and then it picks up from the cell the waste material, toxic, poison, poo-poo, feces, moves it back, sorts it out through your liver, and then drops it into your colon. That blood, half of the time, has good food in it, and half the time it's got nasty toxins in it. So half your blood's clean and half your blood's dirty at any given time. So God said, hey, eating this dirty blood's not good for you. It's going to make you sick. So he said, don't eat that blood, pour it on the ground. Now, if you want to go ahead and eat it, that's fine. But then when you come down with some loathsome disease, well, then you knew that you broke the law, and then that law has a penalty, and now you're paying that penalty. And you can say, well, I didn't know that law. Well, that's okay. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Yeah, I'm out of time here, boys and girls. We'll have to leave it right there. There's your 18 agricultural laws. And let me give you a final reminder here that you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now the Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now the Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date. That's for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.